Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
I'm John Albin. Full name is John Wilkins, but I'm one of the core developers for Drupal 7, and I've been doing a lot of work on trying to get things sort of cleaned up and added onto, and basically Drupal 7 theming is... it's more like an extension of Drupal 6 theming. It's not radically different, but it has some nice new features into it. So I'm actually going to be doing a session. We're going to talk for like an hour, and I'm still not going to be able to explain all the things that have happened in Drupal 7 theming, but I'll try to give a sort of brief rundown here in the next 5 minutes or something like that. Basically, we've gone through and cleaned up all of the templates. We've done a pretty good job at that. Unfortunately, when we have API changes that happen at the same time, right after you clean up a template, you end up with extra variables and stuff, or removed variables, and the markup that we were so, you know, carefully creating gets changed on us. So it's better than it was, but it's still not exactly what we would want it to if we could have gone back over it again. But we've also gone through and implemented some interesting things. There's this idea of we have normal variables, which are just strings, which you can just PHP print inside templates. And now we have what are render variables or render elements. And basically, you just have to literally in the template file say, print render parentheses and then the variable name. So you just run it through this extra function, this render function. But it's an array that actually allows you to get at the data before it gets converted into HTML string. So it allows you to do manipulations on some of your node data. You can rearrange fields if you got real fancy. It gives you more control over being able to get exactly the markup that you want inside your theme.
So just to jump in here, it sounds like This is part of the page rendering system, that instead of having every template variables now, what's different in terms of like when themers are approaching, you know, theming, there seems to be something different with this page rendering and all these renderable arrays that are there.
Right. So the way it happened inside the core development is actually happened completely opposite way I would actually explain it to people. So the first big patch that got into Drupal 7 was this hook page alter, which basically all blocks are now these renderable elements instead of just straight up strings. So you end up with this page element that includes all of the regions, all of the blocks, all of this, the content. Content is now a block as well. So now you end up with this giant array of renderable elements that you can use a hook page alter, and themes can also now call any alter hook as well. So that's another gigantic thing that themes can now do. And you can then alter this entire gigantic array and manipulate it in fantastic ways, as long as you know PHP. And it is an incredible power, but that idea of the render element got pushed down into smaller chunks sort of inside each individual template. So if you go into like a comment.tpl PHP file, you'll see a render element that is just the comment, and if there's any fields on it, you'll be able to manipulate that stuff. So at a much smaller unit base inside the TPL files, you will see little bits of render elements. And then at the page TPL, even before you get to the page TPL, is this giant renderable element that you can alter with this hook page alter function.
So it's giving a lot of flexibility for controlling where things are showing up, or things, if they're changing the data, but also moving it around in a way, it sounds like, but at the cost of a couple of PHP functions that have to go into template files now, is that right?
Right. So before, the only sort of PHP that you would normally put it in a template file is just like a print statement, an if statement, else, a T function to do translatable strings. Very, very short list. And now we've just added render. There's also show and hide, which allows you to literally hide this part of this render element for a second, and then we're going to render it, you know, later on down inside our same TPL file. So you would hide part of the comments, and then later on inside your template file, you could render that same element. So that's in Drupal 6. CCK had this thing where it had this little exclude checkbox next to a field. So it would render a particular field, but then actually stick it into the body. And that was kind of a hack, but it was really, really useful one. And then in Drupal 7, that's gone away completely because we have, you know, each of these elements are render elements. And you just, if you want to do that to a field, you literally would just hide the field and then, you know, render it later.
And so what are some of the other things that are new and different that you're excited about, the new theming system in Drupal 7?
So one of the things, it's semi-new in that if you've ever done any views theming in D6, there is this just ginormous amount of templates and these different naming conventions of different ways that you can name your template in order to apply to different views. You know, they've got this views underscore underscore whatever underscore widget .tpl, you know, and it's really long files. So that's actually based on something that Earl Miles put into the D6 theming system, where he's like, trust me, I need this. And everyone's like, okay. And no one really thought about it a whole lot that I can tell, except for Earl. He used it a ton inside views. And it's sort of taken everybody else a while to figure out, oh, this is kind of cool, some of the things that we can do with this. So for example, the thing that we use it for inside D7 core, because we never, even though this ability was in D6 core, it wasn't actually used in D6 core. It was only used in Vue's. So in D7 core, we've actually gone and actually started implementing this technology. And we sort of renamed it. It was called name theme implementations or something like that. Now it's theme hook suggestions. So with theme hook suggestions, basically what you do is when a module implements a particular theme hook, it'll say, I want this theme hook, but you know, if somebody wants to override this very specific instance of me calling this theme hook, I'm going to tell it that you can use the theme links is a good one. So I'm going to say you can theme it using theme links if you want to override it, or you can override it using theme links underscore underscore node, right? Because I'm the node module and I'm using theme links in this particular thing. So this will allow you to override just the node module's use of theme links in this instance. So themers had this problem where theme links, for example, is used everywhere, which is great. Reuse of code is fantastic. But if you wanted to change the way a certain set of links was rendered and not change all of the ways of links are rendered, you had this problem in that you couldn't do it. I mean, it was really, really hard. You had to like sort of figure out based on the data that was inside it whether or not you were in the right spot. It was usually impossible or extremely difficult. And now with theme hook suggestions, we sort of solve that problem, because as long as the module calling the theme function gives these suggestions, you know, themers can go in and say, okay, I just want to do that version, this theme hook.
So it sounds like you're able to draw on the context of where these things are happening, like in the node instance. Where would people put that code? Is it in the template.php, or how do they actually implement that?
So there are two ways to sort of implement it. One is that the module has to implement it when it calls theme hooks. And I'm going to be talking actually at this conference, telling module developers how to do sort of the theme system the right way, so that, you know, me and Morton don't come in and try to kill you later. But the other way is actually that themers can come in and inside a pre-process function for a particular theme hook and then say, okay, I figured out sort of my context based on the data. I'm going to add in a theme hook suggestion here. And when you actually go to render the particular template, look at my theme hook suggestion first. And if you see, you know, an implementation inside my theme that matches the suggestion I just gave you, use it instead of the normal one. So in Drupal 6, we had this problem of, you know, the node TPL. There were these template suggestions that, for example, you could have a node-story.tpl, and that would allow you to have, like, the story node type would be used. If you were theming that, you would get this node story version instead of the node.tpl. And there was this huge bug in D6 that's unsolvable, unfortunately, in that if you didn't want to override the node.tpl, but you just wanted to have a node-story, you couldn't do that. You had to override the node.tpl and also have a node-story TPL inside your theme in the same place, because the theme system just couldn't figure out that you wanted to just override this particular suggestion. And with theme hook suggestions, that's solved because you just sort of pass this theme hook suggestion into the system, and Drupal has already gone through and based on this pattern of file naming conventions, which is this double underscore stuff that Vue uses in D6. So, you know, node underscore underscore story. Well, that would be the name of the theme hook suggestion. But the actual template they would search for would be node dash dash story dot tpl dot php. So based on this pattern of this double dash or double underscore, it can actually find them ahead of time and can sort of set that inside the theme registry and sort of pull it out on the fly. So it's a much more flexible system. You don't have this intractable bug that's unfixable in D6. And, you know, it's really, really nice. I've actually already implemented inside the menu block module. I went in, once I figured this out, I'm like, oh, I got to add these, because the menu block module also uses the same sort of D6, reuses the D6 core hooks of menu link and menu link item and all that stuff. And I added in suggestions then so that you can now just get at, you know, I want to override the way the menu looks just for this one menu or just for this one block or whatever. It's got a whole bunch of suggestions in there. And it's really nice. You can override just specific things. And at Palantir, we just finished up a D7 site that's actually in production here, which we're going to be showing off later in the week. And we've used some of these techniques in order to do some really interesting sort of renderable element changes based on theme hook suggestions.
So what are some of the other things that you could do on Drupal 7 theming that you couldn't do on Drupal 6 theming then?
Oh, wow. It's almost like you're reading my mind. One of the things that I'm going to be talking about a lot this week is mega menus. Mega menus are this thing where you have this sort of top-level navigation that's horizontal across the top, and you hover over it, and you get sort of normal drop-down menus of, you know, a list of links. But mega menus are basically, it's almost like a mini panel inside the drop-down. So instead of just a straight vertical list of links, you would get like a grid of links, and maybe this search form would be inside there. You know, so you would hover over the first element in your horizontal menu there, and it would pop up and show you all those children plus sort of related content or something inside this mega menu block. So D7, because of render elements, you can go in and say, okay, I want to alter the content that's inside this menu along the top there and target it very specifically, and then go in using the render API, go in and add extra stuff. So I've actually done this for sort of prototype, but I've changed a simple vertical list of links into multiple columns of links. And it'd be very easy for me to just add, like at the bottom there, like the search form or something, or any kind of form, you know, or anything, any kind of block that I wanted, I could stick in there. And that's one of the things that would just be impossible in D6. You would have to write everything from scratch in order to get something like that. You couldn't reuse, you know, the core's menu links, for example, or any of that. And in the D7, it took me about 20 hours and I had a mega menu. So that was exciting.
And when you are thinking about your presentation, are there any other big highlights that you're going to be covering and telling people about?
There are a whole bunch of little things, really, basically. The big things are, you know, render elements, theme hook suggestions, and the rest of it is just a whole lot of gravy, basically. So that's what I'm going to be sort of talking about. You know, I'll mention one thing, which, because I worked on the patch and it was a lot of work, is in D7, we got rid of that giant grid when you go to the admin build themes page, and it had like this little teeny picture of the theme and a description and then two radio buttons, and you didn't know what the heck, which radio button you're supposed to click on in order to figure out. And that's been completely blown away and changed with a much simplified interface where you see big screenshots of the themes, and it's a lot more intuitive. There's a little links next to each screenshot that says, make this the default theme, or just enable it, or disable it, or it's much simplified. And we had a couple UX people do and create the design for this, and people went through iterations of it. And then we had Gabor. he actually went through and did the first version of the patch, and then I just sort of took it to the end and you know, put a ton of work into it, and we got it in. So I was really excited about that.
Okay, great. Well, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.